Hi, everyone, and welcome to Decoding Destiny, Soundbites from the C-Suite. Join me every week as I capture strategies from incredibly successful women and share these soundbites to help you decode challenges and map your own destiny. Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Today, I'm meeting with Delphine O'Rourke to discuss debunking the non-linear career path. Delphine is an authoritative expert in healthcare laws and regulations and an advocate for women's health and wellness. In her career, Delphine's tackled some of the most difficult problems in healthcare from the C-suite and boardrooms of health companies. She's a partner at the law firm of Goodwin Procter in the Life Sciences Group, a member of the Corporate Social Responsibility, Environmental, Social, and Governance, and Social Impact Investing Groups. She's a health law subject matter expert and provides strategic guidance, technical expertise, and regulatory counsel to clients. In addition, Delphine is a fierce advocate for founders in women health and partners with them along their journey by providing them with critical strategic and legal advice. Welcome, Delphine.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
It would be great if we could kick it off by having you give a little more color on your super interesting background.
Love to. And again, thank you for the opportunity in what I think is an important topic for all women and definitely has been critical in my career development and both challenges and opportunities. And that's the concept of a linear career. So as you mentioned, I am a partner with Goodwin, which is a major international law firm out of the New York office. And I advise companies, whether they're entrepreneurs or established companies like a hospital or a manufacturer of medical products or a pharmaceutical, as well as investors in healthcare. So it is really a privilege to be here and to have an opportunity to share some of the lessons that I've learned and also sort of some of the struggles that I had personally. And then I thought, you know what, if I looked at this a little bit differently, I wouldn't have beaten myself up as much. And I think that's the theme, is how can we reframe some of the expectations and if even the framework, the expectations, the language that we use when we talk about careers, because I think they're particularly damaging to women. And often we internalize those concepts of, today we're going to talk about linear career, but it's also, work-life balance. If you can try to just achieve work-life balance, you're never going to get there. And then you're beating yourself up again for not having something that you think you should have. So when we talk about, what do we mean by a linear career? And to me, it's the concept, it's sort of what I'll call an old-fashioned concept of, you start working for a company, let's say it's a General Motors, it's your IBM, and you work there for 40 years, 45 years, whatever the number may be, and you sort of just progressively move up in the organization and you stay in your lane and eventually you retire, maybe with a gold watch or maybe not, but that's what you should be doing. And, I think, again, even, when I was starting, but even today, there's this concept of that's how it should be. It's bad to change careers. It's bad to change employers. And particularly for women, if you have not been following that, quote, trajectory, I'll use a term that's used, which I hope that we change this language, is I took time off. And now that I've taken time off, I want to get back in, the on-ramping, off-ramping. And I'd like to just throw away that entire concept. I have two boys, they're 10 and 12. And unless, mothers out there, unless your experience was completely different from mine, taking care of them was never off. Okay, at work, if my clients are like upset and yelling, I know why. When the kids were 6 months old and they're crying and you have no idea, you can't say, hey, I'm gonna go take a break now. There's nothing off about taking time to take care of or raise your children, to take care of elderly parents. So, that's just one of the concepts that, I hope we're gonna dive into, to say, take that linear, throw it away. And think about reframing it, reframing your story, reframing your brand and saying, this is an asset. And I think we're also going to touch on, so how do you get there? But the first step is enough of the linear.
I agree with you 100%. So let's talk about how to reframe that, though, because there are many women that do take time off, which is a horrible way to say, because you're totally right. There's no off about it, and you're on pretty much 24/7. But how do you reframe that in terms of your career?
So, you know, I'll just give you a recent example. So, you know, I speak with women all the time. They're friends of friends, somebody who reaches out, maybe heard me in a podcast and said, this is sort of what I'm going through. I, you know, want to either shift careers or, you know, at all different stages, right? I'm thinking about having a family. How should I handle it? Or more and more, you know, I've been successful, but I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. So, you know, common conversation is my kids are out of college. Maybe financially I have more flexibility. And even though I've achieved quote success, and that's, you know, another part of it is, well, how do you define success? I'm just, you know, I'm missing something. So I want to do something more, you know, more meaningful. And I had a conversation, you know, as recently as last week with, this was a friend of a friend. And she started the conversation by saying, you know, I'm having a tough time getting hired because I've been off and my skills are, you know, and my skills are rusty, but I'm telling them that I can get back into it. And I said, you know, I would hire you. Like, what kind of, if you're leaning in with all the negatives, I guarantee you men never do that. Men are like, I don't care. I haven't been doing this in 15 years. I've never done it, but I'm the best. So, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, how do you rebrand yourself? You know, even if it's an exercise simple as, okay, what are all the positives? What's the narrative? Don't let them, whoever them is, whoever you're talking to, create the narrative around you. And the common narrative, I'll use the example of, you know, getting back into work is, oh, she hasn't been working. So again, she's rusty. She's not up to date. She's, you know, no. Okay. So how do you reframe that and get into a narrative where, okay, what are you leaning in with that's a positive? Okay. And don't lean in with, I've been off. Okay. What are the skills? What are you bringing? No, maybe you haven't been working in a traditional environment, but what are the skills that you've developed? I mean, there's studies, recent study that shows that being a parent, and there's a fantastic book that's coming out by a friend of mine named Amy Henderson on just this topic. Being a parent teaches you so many skills that you never get in the workplace that are so critical. You know, maybe 10 years ago you were in one profession and now, you know, that profession, maybe it's marketing and your skills are not as needed. Okay. Find out what is needed and how can you, again, what's your story?
Yeah.
Create your story and then pull everything you might've done, to encourage that story, show that you're up to date, make sure you're reading, you know, and if you haven't been for the past 10 years, you know, crash course yourself. Show that I'm relevant today and lean in with that instead of already going in. I hear this over and over. Oh, I'm off-ramped. I haven't done anything. That, you know, if you're telling yourself that, then that's what they're hearing. And I sure. wouldn't hire you either.
No, that's really true. So when you say non-linear career, I mean, explain that a little bit more in terms of, is it just getting out of something because of something personal and going back into it? Or could it be changing something completely, going into something completely different? And when you do that, what are the differences? How do you overcome that I've never done it before if you want to make a complete career switch?
Yeah, that's hard, right? It's like jumping off the cliff and you're like, yeah. Wow, I've never done this before. So I think it could be a couple of things, and I'll just draw from my own experience. So I wanted to be a lawyer when I was like in high school. I mean, at one point I thought maybe, you know, I wanted to become a therapist. And that was like my senior
year. Kind of the same thing.
Right? It is. But it was like, you know, a month before graduating from college, you know, I told my parents, I was like, I don't know, maybe I want to be a therapist. And I remember my mom was like, maybe, but in the meantime, let's graduate and then we can regroup, right? And to your point, it's a lot of this, it's really the same. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a criminal lawyer. I had absolutely no doubts. Like, it wasn't like, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do this. I go to law school. I went to Columbia Law School. I was very fortunate. I did well. I started with an excellent law firm in New York City, you know, da, 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 da. And then one day I was like, this is not what I want to be doing at all. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, and again, this could be a whole other podcast, things that I wish they told young lawyers. But I had this like view of saving the world, right? And you go to law school and you're going to make a difference. And then I was like, I'm working for corporations. How am I going to make a difference? So today I've reconciled that and I feel like I am making a difference. So I said, you know what? What I really want to do is design jewelry. I was doing it on the side. I'd always liked to design jewelry. And I said, I really want to do this in addition to my law career. Like, I won't transition out of law, so I'll do it sort of on the side. Completely different. And I mean, people are saying, I remember like people saying like, you went to Columbia and now you're gonna sell jewelry. Like people are, there's like no qualms about it. Like you're throwing away your career, like blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was a leap, you know, it was a leap. And even my colleagues were like, what are you doing? And you know, even though, you know, I still had that sort of security of still practicing law, I tried it and I was going to trunk shows. I was like calling my jewelry. I was going to the manufacturers. I was dealing with retailers. I had this like dream that would be fabulous and it was not at all what I thought it was going to be. Right. I thought it was going to be this sort of really creative exercise and it was just about a business, right? At the end of the day, you're selling a product and that meaning, that creative meaning that I was looking for wasn't there. So then I had to go and say, okay, law firms, this is why you should work with me, even though I have just been focusing on a jewelry business. You know, and law is a very sort of conservative, especially if you're in that track of you do, you know, your first year, then your second year, your third year, your fourth year. And I thought, how am I going to convince them that, you know, what I really want to do is be a lawyer? And, you know, and that's what I said. I said, I had a doubt. I tried this. And now my commitment and my dedication to law is 120%. And that was true because I tried something different instead of having this like fantasy of what it could be. So, you know, that's an example because I was like, you know, antsy and I wasn't quite settled and all of a sudden I had been certain and then I wasn't quite certain. And then, you know, just two other experiences because of my husband's job, we moved and I had been in large law firms and then all of a sudden we're moving to upstate New York. And I said, okay, what am I going to do in upstate New York in a small town? And then I pivoted and said, okay, I'm going to find the best opportunity in this area that I can. I'm not going to complain about how, you know, I'm not in New York City anymore and the opportunities aren't there. Let me try something completely different. So when I say completely different, I was still a lawyer, but that's how I got into healthcare. There was an opportunity and I said, I can do this. You know, if why not, right? I'll try it. And I became the general counsel of a health system. And that's how I discovered basically health and health law. And it is my passion. And I didn't search for it, right? I thought I wanted to be a criminal lawyer and that's what I was doing. And so I think a couple of things there is, yeah, what I mean nonlinear is, okay, you have to change jobs because of maybe a spouse, change jobs because you're taking care of your parents, you know, change jobs because you're fired. I mean, a variety of different ways or reasons why you might need to pivot. And that's what I mean by nonlinear. If you expect to go from A to Z and never change or adapt, and you think that anything short of that is a failure, that's the piece that I want to focus on, is let's stop thinking about that being a failure, but an opportunity to show your flexibility, your resilience, your grit, your willingness to take chances, your willingness to dig in.
That is so interesting because I think this is something that connected us at the beginning. I was an engineer before I completely changed everything in my career and took so many different paths. And it was one of those things that I wanted to be an engineer. I loved it in school, started working and hated every second of being stuck in a lab, no social interaction. And the people that I was interacting with were like 30 years older than me, like talking about their grandkids. It was just not my scene at 21 years old, 22 years old. So I did the same thing. And I think, you know, it's very similar to your journey with the jewelry. It's what can you take from that experience and the learnings and the assets, because you learned a lot about having your own business, and that can be brought into anything. And those are skills and assets that you need to look at and say, man, I should be proud of this, and anyone would want to have me because I'm a little bit more, even more well-rounded than some of the other people that are maybe going after these jobs.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's everybody should have their own business. Another thing, when you get back to this sort of the linear concept is, you know, again, I talked to a lot of women who say, you know, I want totally out, and, you know, bring engineering was maybe not a good fit for you. But before you say, I want totally out, you know, to sort of have that conversation and acknowledge yourself, and I'm happy to talk about that, and say, okay, well, maybe within this, you know, I started out as a litigator where I spent my days writing briefs. And I thought, I love to write. And I thought, wow, that's gonna be perfect for me. I'm gonna get paid to write. Like, how can you find a better job? Like, that's ideal. But what I realized is, you know what? I'm actually a really social person, and to write for days and hours at a time by myself, I was like, please talk to me. So within the law, you know, that's just one example, but it's the same thing in financial services and other different areas. Now I'm in the work that I do is advice and counseling. So I am talking to on regulations, so, or strategy. I'm talking to people all day long, and I love it. I love it, you know? So you don't have to like get rid of the entire thing. It's even within an industry, recognizing, okay, what do you need? And when I say need, I think to a certain extent we're wired. What do you need for it to be a life-giving experience rather than a life-sucking experience? Now, you know, I know a lot of people who, if they had to talk on the phone all day long, would say, I'm wiped at the end of the day and I can't think of anything worse. So what is it, you know, even more, there's a lot of conversation, oh, I need this job, to take some time. And I wish I had done this earlier, and to think about, what do you need on a daily basis? Forget the titles, forget the brand. What is it that's life-giving versus life-draining? When sure. do you, you know, take 3 weeks and write down, ooh, I felt really good after I did that. You know, oh, I really like to do X. And sort of map your own self out, right? It's like, you know, when you're exercising or trying to track your diet. And then drill into that, because that's where I think you're going to perform the best, where you're getting that energy, you know, versus... you know, if at the end of the day, you're like, ugh, every day, dragging yourself home, it's unlikely that A, you're going to sustain, and B, that you're going to be high performing.
Sure. And you mentioned something that's interesting, is that even within the career that you have, if you're happy with it, finding the niche that makes you even more happy. And you've done that. And I think I'd love to talk a little bit about how you really revolutionized women's health and law, and you're kind of taking that and doing something different, which again, you're passionate about being a lawyer. That's what you did. But you found a niche that really makes you feel fulfilled. I'd love to hear more about that.
I feel very fortunate in that, you know, there's sort of three things that I was really passionate about: the law, healthcare, and women. And when I say women, you know, women on boards, gender equity generally. And to be able to combine those and spend the majority of my time focusing on that intersection, you know, women's health is where my passion and where I'm focusing my energy. And I feel like I just vibrate at a higher level. And, you know, so be careful. If I start talking about women's health, you know, you'll never get me off the podcast. And 2 days ago, we launched the first, Goodwin did, the first women's health and wellness practice. So law practice. So what does that mean? If you're not a lawyer, it's, you know, law firms are organized and have different areas of expertise. So you have people who, you know, try cases, you have people who advise companies on securities laws, and they're called practices. So this is the first one that's dedicated to women's health and wellness. And, you know, over half the population is female. So, and we had been, you know, largely ignored and in healthcare. And this isn't healthcare, it's wellness, it's a comprehensive approach. And we did it to help our clients because our clients were saying, you know, we don't know who to go to. We want to make sure we have trusted advisors and we want to make sure we work with people who understand our industry. So I think it's important for, you know, women who are, and men, I mean, it's not just for women, it's for anyone who is in the women's health space. Also to make connections, because that's something that I think is relevant for this conversation as well. One of the things that, again, I wish they had told me when I was, or I knew at 21, is you will succeed in large part unless you're, you know, I don't know, you know, a genius off the charts, through your relationships. And those relationships, whether it's just bouncing ideas off of someone or someone who's going to invest in your company, will be a huge determinant of success. So what we're doing is creating an ecosystem of women and men in the space. We can also connect them. And I think that gets back to the non-linear, you know, career conversation in that if you are currently not working and thinking about maybe working 5 years or 10 years, or you're working and you're not satisfied, talk to people. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's with a large pharmaceutical company for 32 years. And now she's trying to figure out what she wants to do. And she said, I need to start talking to people because I haven't been outside of my own company. And that's super limiting, you know? So find people who might be doing something that you're interested in, or who have changed careers, or who have transitioned from being full-time parents to, well, I don't like that term, scratch that too, because I'm a full-time parent. But people have said, okay, I want to get back into the workforce and see what their experiences were like. So I think that's part of the sort of non-career conversation as well, is relationships, develop relationships. And I'm not talking about networking, because I think networking has a transactional feel to it. Like, you're going to give me something and I'm going to give you something. No, relationships. You know, they call it your personal board of directors. When I'm not sure what I'm doing or I want to bounce ideas, I have a group of people who I call and I say, what do you think about this? And I truly value their opinions. Because they'll also say, yeah, what are you thinking? Nah, that one's not gonna work. So, and you don't have to be working to do that. That could be your aunt. It could be, you know, your next door neighbor. It's identifying people who A, will take the time to talk to you, and B, who you think might have some insight. And I think that is important throughout your, you know, just because otherwise you get sort of in your own space, is to have those checks. And that support system. And you know, it's, so how do you do it? I mean, that's what I'd say. It's like, let's start with that. What are you even thinking? And if you're not ready to make a full jump, okay, you're in job one, you want to go to job two, maybe, but you're not ready. How do you sort of inch your way towards that? Start talking to people. You don't have to say, hey, I'm looking for a job. But just reaching out and saying, you know, we have similar interest, or, you know, to expand that reach of people and experiences so that you can explore. And, you know, I think another important thing is that the current generation, there's an expectation that you're going to change jobs. If you say to a recent grad at 21, hey, come join us, and we expect you to work for us for 35 years. They will run out the door and say, are you crazy? So let's take advantage of that. You know, I'll give you my best while I'm here, but the fact that you might not have been there for 3 years shouldn't be a down, you know, shouldn't be a negative.
Oh, completely. I think that there's also a personal in-depth kind of, you know, realization that you need to really come to terms with yourself, your fear, your insecurities, to be able to get over that in order to kind of take that leap. But then once you do, or you've done it, how do you turn a nonlinear career into a differentiator? Because now you're taking it to another level. You've done it, you've maybe taken a leap, and maybe you're kind of still navigating that path, but how do you turn that into something that's even more of a differentiator that's really positive?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think on the fear, yeah, be honest. You know, everybody's going to be afraid. So what is it that you're really afraid of? Is it rejection? Is it that you weren't good enough? That, you know, like, put it out there, at least with yourself, right? And say, okay, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm going to fail, they're not going to believe in me. Like, put it out there, like, you know, visualize it. This is my fear. I just put it in my glass and say, okay, I'm looking at my fear. Now what am I going to do about it? And maybe you will be rejected. Okay. You know, but it's like, I think as women, we deal with a lot worse stuff than an HR department rejecting us, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things, we've dealt with a lot worse. And we can overcome that. And we have a lot more, I think, you know, we see our identity in multifaceted ways. And that's just part of our identity. But the fear is there. So before I answer that question, like, find your support group that's going to say, you know what? Okay, that one didn't work out. But let me talk to my friend who might have somebody else. You know, let me think about a different way to approach it. Let me help you look at your resume. But the idea that there's no fear, there is fear. So it's like, okay, let's take it on, you know, and again, where I think we're good at that. So how do you differentiate? You know, I think it's part of that is that branding, is that how do you write your own narrative? You have a broader perspective. You can compare how other industries approach that issue. Look at the skills that someone who's had, quote, a linear career has, okay? And what are skills or experiences that you've had that are different that you can highlight? So, you know, what are, so I'll give you an example. Because I was general counsel of a health system, I was in the boardroom all the time. So certain lawyers are in the boardroom, but very few have been in the boardroom as much as I have because that was part of my job. Or, you know, managing teams across the country. Or so look at what you have done and what your peers in that industry have done or the experiences. And instead of trying to say, well, I'm exactly like you, because you're not, right? You haven't been in that company. You haven't been going from first year to second year to third year or whatever, you know, advisor to analyst to whatever the terminology is. So focus on the differentiators. You know, yes, I was in the car industry and now I'm in cosmetics, but what we're talking about are consumer products. And consumer products, where consumers, where the look of it is critically important, okay? So yeah, maybe a lipstick and a car doesn't seem like it has anything in common, but make those connections. I understand the consumer. You know, whatever your background is, you know, I understand, you know, cultural sensitivity and cultural marketing are becoming more and more important. Hey company, you know, 60% of your consumers are women. So, and your senior team here is all male. I can bring a perspective that you currently don't have. That doesn't mean that you represent all women.
Of course.
But, right? But say, you know, don't hide from it. I mean, yeah. They know. It's not like you're going to hide it and they're going to say, oh, wow, you know, we hadn't noticed that Jane wasn't in the cosmetic industry before. But take advantage of it and say, I'm bringing a fresh light. I'm bringing a fresh perspective. You know, look at data. That's another thing. People like facts. So research. Look at studies where, you know, empirically, it has been proven that having team members who have not been part of the group think help, particularly in consumer products, help identify gaps that others who have been developing a product haven't seen because they've been in it. You know, do your research, make those arguments. It's great that I'm different because you've all been looking at it the same way.
No, that's very powerful. And it's really important to kind of take the time to do that and to do the prep work. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of times I talk to a lot of women who want to do something and they have these very high level ideas and they're ready to jump right in. And there needs to be a lot of work you need to do before you get to that point. I think that's the first step, but you kind of really outline the steps and things that you need to really make sure you've secured before you can do it. There's work that goes into it. Nothing comes easy.
You know, and someone, I remember someone said that to me, you should be reading about your industry all the time, half an hour a day. And I thought to myself, I'm doing this all day long. I mean, this is when I was in my 20s. Why would I want to read? Like, I have some great novels I want to read. Why would I want to read on top? And you know what? It's totally right. I read, if I have spare time. Now, again, I'm reading about something that I love and maybe I should read more novels at this point. But read. And even if you're not going to go back to work, or even if you're not going to transition to your to a job that you think would be more fulfilling, you've got 5 more years as an accountant and you're not going to be able to, you know, save the rainforest for another 7 years. Read. Read on the industry. What's happening? The trends. What does the data say? That'll A, help you understand the industry. It'll help you position yourself. And when you are talking to people, they'll see, wow, she knows this.
She knows this stuff,
right? And it doesn't need to be, you know, hours. It can be 5 minutes here. You're waiting at the doctor's office. I always have there's a magazine called Modern Healthcare, and they have lots of short, you know, short articles. I always have one in my bag. Well, now in COVID, I'm not going anywhere, but, you know, I always have one around, even if I'm just going to read it for a couple minutes, because then I'm staying current.
No, that's great. So Delphine, you are a powerhouse woman. I'm so loving this conversation. And I think that so many women are going to get so much out of this. What's a motto that you live by today? Like, what is something that's your driving force?
Why? What's my why? So if you haven't seen it already, for me, it was like life changing. There's an organizational, I think he's an organizational psychologist.
Simon Sinek, you're going to say.
Simon Sinek.
My favorite guy on the planet.
Okay. So I, you know, he was at Columbia as a professor. I graduated from Columbia. Like, I knew people who knew him and I'd heard, oh, this guy's great, da, da, da. I watched his TED Talk and I was like, whoa. And I still watch it, I don't know, at least once a month. And I've shared it with teens, and because he helped me organize it. And he says it in his TED Talk, like, this is nothing new. I'm organizing it for you. And it's totally right. And I started thinking about, and I use it for, you know, if I'm doing client pitch, what's the why? But I started thinking about, what's my why? Why am I doing all of this? And yes, why do you work? Well, you work because you need to pay bills and, you know, you want to retire at some point and be able to care for your family. I mean, there are those pieces. Okay. No doubt. And those pieces are critical. I start thinking, is there something more? When you say what's driving it, at the end of the day, what's my why? What's my why generally? You know, if you want to be sort of graphic about it, but, you know, it's sort of like, what's going to be on my epitaph? What is it? What's the why? She did X. Or she gave Z. And there are a lot of different ways to express your why. And it's that expression that I started saying, okay, that's what I want to spend my time and energy doing. Because there are lots of different ways to do it, depending on what your why is. And that's what was the game changer for me. It's now it makes sense. And now I can sort of align my focus. And all of these ideas about what women can do and shouldn't do and need to do, they sort of go away when you sort of just focus on the why. And that's part of the linear. Like, we're told we should have linear careers, work-life balance. We're told all these things and we internalize them because that's what we're told. And sort of motivates me to have these conversations is when I talk to younger women who say, well, you know, I really want to have work-life balance, so I'm going to stop working. You know, I've never had work-life balance. Not once. Nothing in my life is balanced. And maybe it's balanced for like 2 seconds. And then guess what? I was telling Rena this morning, it's a gorgeous day today. There's no weather. Our kids go to school. Guess what? There's a power outage. They come home. Right. So all of a sudden I'm like scrambling before this, trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do. There's never any balance. So if you continue to think you're a failure because you have work-life balance, those are just like things that are pulling us down.
And you're constantly going to be pulled down by it because you're never going to feel like you're balanced. It's always going to be skewed one way or the other.
There are all these things that they tell us we should do. And, you know, my message is, it's like, I wish we could like take off my coat and say, okay, that was work-life balance. And, you know, it's like, let's free ourselves of all these, like, you know, all of these concepts that we measure ourselves against and then say we're not good enough. No, you know, totally. And that's the linear career. You take, you know, you decide to, you're going to be a full-time parent and not work outside, you know, go outside or work professionally for 4 years. You're not a failure. Okay. And you're not less than, and, you know, more power to you. I don't think I could do 4 years home full-time. I, you know, hey, let's be realistic. I need to, you know, so let's stop thinking about that. Let's stop thinking I'm trying to achieve balance. Let's stop thinking, you know, I'm not good. I hear this from women all the time. I'm not good at marketing. BS, we're really good at relationships. We're good listeners. We're really good at relationships. So let's get rid of all of that and then define our own story.
Sure. You can flip it the other way too. I mean, there are so many working moms that I know who feel like failures as mothers because they're not always there. Instead of looking at the positive of the example and the lessons that they're actually teaching their children by what they're able to handle. I mean, we are all superheroes in so many different ways, and focus on that because there is just so much positive instead of just focusing on the negative. And society puts that pressure on us.
Society puts that pressure. And I think the other piece is so look at the data. I go back to the data. If you look at highly successful women, the majority of them had moms who worked, okay? The other piece of it is know yourself and be okay with that. And when I get to that is I had this conversation with my kids. If I had nothing, when I say if all of my attention was focused on them, I would smother them. I'd be like, okay, guys, you know, all this energy that I have towards women's health, I would put on them, you know, and that's not healthy. And that's the way I am. I'd be like, okay, let's learn how to speak Italian and let's do this and let's do that. And they'd be like, whoa, I need to give them space, right? So it's also recognizing that if I was with them full time, I think our relationship would be not what it is, because that'd be too much. And that's okay, you know? So, and it also just shows them, I think it also changes their view of what women are and what women can be. So, you know, thank you for this conversation. And I think my, you know, parting message would be, you define your narrative. You know, you tell your story, and you can tell your story as it is and how you want it to be. And that's part of it, is this is me, and it's not a change, it's an evolution. And we all evolve, right? And that's great, that's an asset. It's not a negative that you're looking for a different opportunity. So Rena, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. This was fantastic. You had so many tactical tips that people can take and actually start implementing on right away. So this was fantastic. Thanks again.
Thank you.